M28, number 2A.
Well, we have seen how in many ways and shapes and tones and hues one can also present this second big category of word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Just as we would take mind and say, well, mind is only a super symbol, and under mind we understand the whole range of ideas characterizing mind. In the same way, we can take the word and say, this is only a super symbol for many aspects, hues, and shades of depicting the word. And so is the Christ, and so is Christianity, and so is science. This fourfold calculus is not something that Mrs. Eddy has invented. It is something that is innate in being, is immanent in being, and is a terrific scientific help for us in order to understand the modus operandi of being. Now, these four have been seen in the Bible. The Bible only used different symbols. The Bible would, for instance, say, in order to give the four sides, would say the word is the north, the Christ is the east, Christianity is the south, and science is the west. So they will talk and say there was an army coming from the east, for instance. And then you know that they meant it's the army, the power of the Christ. They will speak about from the north, then you know, we know it's the polar star of Revelation when they speak of the north, and so of the west when they indicated science. They used the four right at the beginning of the Bible with those four rivers that were in the Garden of Eden, and each one can look up the definitions in the glossary of those four big rivers, as Pison, Word, Gihon, Christ, Pentecost, Christianity, Euphrates, Divine Science. I just mention them because I want to show that the idea of the calculus is immanent in being, and because it's immanent in being, that idea has worked always and has been presenting itself always to those who have been spiritually receptive, and has been presenting itself in all kinds of ways. Say, even if we take that tremendous long period from right from the beginning of the Bible up to now, and look at it as a big development of the calculus, we can see, oh yes, that's true. The Bible starts really with the law, the word, the logos. Then came the prophetic age, the Christ. They all were telling about the coming of the Messiah, of the Christ. Then we have the New Testament as showing the outcome of that Christ, as Christianity, Jesus, the apostles. And then you really have the science, when Mrs. Eddy gave us science and health, the interpretation. You see, science is the interpretation. The interpretation of the Bible. The interpretation of the law and the prophets and the New Testament. See, the old canon which comprised the Old Testament was called the law and the prophets. We could say the law and the Christ, or the word and the Christ. The New Testament is actually the using of that Christ consciousness which Jesus showed and said, all right, I'm going to use that Christ consciousness. So I demonstrate that Christ consciousness, and so gives a sense of demonstration of Christianity. Whereas Mrs. Eddy came and said, but the Bible actually doesn't explain to you what is really happening. It doesn't explain what the categories are. It doesn't explain those laws and rules. And so she gave science and health and says, all right, I'm going to explain what really happened within the pages of the Bible. So there was science, the explanation and interpretation of the word Christ and Christianity. So actually, whatever we look at, what is complete and has come to the point of fulfillment has gone through that fourfold calculus. Say, even if you look at a simple figure like Jesus, they didn't depict him in one biography. They needed four biographies, so to say, in order to explain the phenomena called Jesus. So why four if you can do it in one? And this is the reason why, or because theology has never seen really that fourfold calculus. They have always tried to put the four Gospels into one, but they can't, because this is just what happened, that Matthew shows the phenomena called Jesus from the point of view of the Word, namely of the fulfillment of the law, of the Word, said, I came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. And so he presents a whole story, right beginning from Abraham up to Jesus, showing that he was coming to fulfill the Old Testament. When you come to Mark, he presents the same phenomena called Jesus from a completely different standpoint. He is not interested at all in his genealogy. He just says, here, the Son of Man came right down from heaven. Here it is, bang on. It is that Christ which says, I come from God and not from Abraham. See? So he showed a completely different picture, namely as the Christ, as a phenomena coming from God right down and doing his mighty works. Then came Luke along. He was a doctor, and he was interested in man and in the humanhood of man. And so he was interested in showing that phenomena called Jesus Christ as man. And so he showed it from the point of view of Christianity and presented all the qualities of manhood in him. And therefore he laid so much more stress on the birth of Jesus than any one of the others. He goes over long verses and verses explaining how Elizabeth and Mary and so on, how they were discussing the idea, and how Mary could see the idea and bringing forth the true man. You can see it was all on the level of manhood. Then you have John, who wrote the fourth gospel, also about the same phenomena called Jesus, and he wrote his gospel late in the 90th A.D., more or less about 20 or 30 years later than the other Gospels. And so within those 20, 30 years on his exile on the Isle of Patmos, he had really time to think out what was really that thing called Jesus. What was it really? And one can see from his Gospel that he was not so much interested in Jesus' healings and demonstrations, but that he presented Jesus as the idea of God himself, and therefore presented that whole gospel from the standpoint of science and in a science order. And in this way, those four gospels had to be there in order to give a complete picture. It is as if we would be interested in buying a house. Well, we are not looking at that house just from one side and say, oh, I like this side, oh, I think I'm going to buy that house. We are jolly well going all around it and see how it looks from the north and from the east and from the south and from the west in order to get the whole picture. And from each side, that house looks different, though it is the same house. Yeah.
All right.
So we had, in this case, also the four, and so we could go on and on and on, because reality is full of the fundamental factors of being, namely full of the seven and of the four. It just nothing operates right except through the four. Therefore, we find in that a terrific big law, and in the measure as we take in that fourfold calculus, and in the measure as we acquaint our thought with that fourfold calculus, the more that fourfold calculus operates naturally within us, and therefore leads us always from an initial stage to its fulfilled stage of understanding. You see, this is important to see, because if one doesn't see that there is a fourfold aspect to being, then we are tempted to stall, say, at the first aspect. We could actually say that theology stalled at the first aspect. They are only interested to know what is God. they are not so much interested in the Christ. Actually, they are a bit afraid of the Holy Ghost. They don't like to talk about it because they don't know what it is. So just recently, a well-known professor of theology back home said, the theologians don't like to speak and write about the Holy Ghost because they don't know what it is. So at least they are honest. But you see, they don't know anything about the true idea of the Christ. They talk about Jesus, and Jesus being the Christ, making it personal. But that is not the second aspect. That is just a false sense of the Christ. And they don't talk about Christianity. They only talk about Christianity, but not about Christianity. Not about the using of divine ideas. It becomes all now humanized and socialized, and they are interested much more in social work than in true theology. And the whole theology turns now into looking after poor people and after people and people and people, and they build up a terrific people universe. They don't want anything of science anyway. So you can see, we must see the whole picture so that we ourselves are always pushing forward and bringing every proposition to its end and not stopping on the middle of the way. And therefore we can have that chance of culturing and culturing, culturing those four by pondering what they mean. Yes, that's an introduction into the four. And now I come to 2B, which is the Word. And we are going, to talk about the word order. About the word order. All right. Now, before we take that in detail, I want you to think with me very logically for just a few moments. Because I would like to show you something which, to me, all right, that's subjective, but to me is of greatest marvel about Mrs. Eddy's discovery. A marvel which nobody has ever mentioned, and I like those that nobody mentions. People have a great, great estimation for Mrs. Eddy that she was coming and saying for the first time, look here, God is good and His creation is only good and man is perfect. Really, this is terrific. But there are things that to me are more terrific than that. Namely, the moment we touch the scientificalness of her discovery. Now, here is something I want to present. The first great marvel we have already considered is that she was able to take infinite ideas and find the adequate right categorization of these infinite ideas into those seven synonymous terms. That was a masterwork which all through 2,000 years the philosophers would have loved to find and couldn't find. How to reduce infinity into such categories that those categories lent themselves for a structural sense of being, lent themselves as a real good, solid foundation on which to build a whole science and a whole structured sense of science. So we had that first marvel. Then, naturally, because these seven synonymous terms overlap, it was actually logical to see that they compute, that they combine, and that you can have computation of those seven synonymous terms, as we have seen. But then comes the next marvel, which introduces the four. Namely, if you have seven synonymous terms, and they all stand for the one, are we then at liberty to arrange those seven synonymous terms in any order or not? From the point of view of spiritual science, we must say, yes, you can arrange those seven synonymous terms in any way you can think about in order to give a sense of the wholeness of being. How many orders could you produce or compute with seven synonymous terms? When all the seven synonymous terms are always included in that in an order. You have any idea? Many, huh? How many do you think? How many, in how many orders can we put all the seven? Huh? in 5040. It's the factorial of 7 in mathematics, which means that if you have 7 items and you ask yourself in how many orders you can put those 7s, but they are always different, then it is the factorial of 7, which means 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. And that gives 5040 possibilities. So that if we would write about the whole of being and say, how would you define being through the 7 synonymous terms, you could in that case write down 5040 orders. And naturally, fundamentally, this is possible because each synonymous term stands for the whole. They are synonymous, and therefore you can put them into those orders. Into how many orders did Mitsideri put them? Just 3, huh? Just 3, no more. Can you see that out of 5040, she used only 3? And in order to bring out those 3, it took her the time, how long? It took her about 30 years, more than 30 years. Huh? She gave the order of the word as she gives in recapitulation in 1907, so that's about 30 years. She changed that order of the Christ when she gave it for the first time in 1891 in a different way and had to change it afterwards. And so you can see that she was weighing and weighing the order of those synonymous terms in her consciousness, changing them, not because she wanted to have a new edition out and have a new edition sold, because she was weighing spiritually the order. And why? Why was she doing such a thing? Why was she interested in changing the order of the 7 synonymous term, when all the 7 synonymous terms are synonymous and they all belong to God and refer to the one God? So why be concerned about the order at all? If she could have chosen 5040, what is the reason? See, the reason is that order is information. That order gives more information. Actually, that without order, we have little information. You know, this is actually the basis of cybernetics. That cybernetics is based on the fact that order produces information. And we have known that, but we are not aware of it for a long time. And I tell you very easily, so that everyone can see that very easily, that order, not elements, order of the elements, not the elements itself, give information. Take, say, Hamlet, and take the whole text of Hamlet, and take a scissor and cut out every sentence, and put every sentence in a basket, every one of Hamlet, and in the basket, and you shake it, really good shake, everything is nicely shaken up, huh? And you have in that basket the whole of Hamlet, every statement, every word, and then you take out at random one sentence after the other and put them into that order in which you take it out. And you can take it out in some billions and billions and trillions of orders. And does any of those trillion orders give you the story of Hamlet? No, no. There's only one out of those trillions that give you Hamlet. The elements are the same. The order is different. Therefore, the order gives you information, understanding. Order gives us understanding. You know, we were brought up that facts give us understanding. And therefore, the old way of teaching in school were to give to the students facts, and they had to memorize them. Therefore, they never learned anything. They never could really think logically. Facts per se are not science. You know how Bronowski said science is a fact arranging activity. And can you see that there is more information in the order than in the single facts? So it is not the same if I put those seven synonymous terms in any old order. They must be in an order that makes sense, just as with Hamlet. Only that order which really brings one sentence to the next sentence in the meaning of Hamlet, in the idea of Hamlet. Therefore, it's a completely new category that enters in, which says that category, namely the meaning of Hamlet, must enter in order to give to the individual sentences the meaning of Hamlet. We don't have Hamlet if we put them in another order. We wouldn't know what's happening. And the same is true here.